We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
How's it going? Thanks again to him for all of his time each and every week. I won't break his good news, but he's got good news coming. So wait for him to spread that.
His news is better than the Broncos and Colts, which is currently the Broncos up 6-0 over Indianapolis in the game there in Denver. Nick Saban on Hey Coach tonight says that Bryce Young is a game-time decision. Quote, sometimes you got to protect players from themselves. The quote there for that one.
Mm.
The intrigue and the drama.
I don't know.
I mean, that's implying that if he can't go, we're going to have to take his helmet.
Oh, I'm sure he wants to play. Great players want to play.
But if you can't beat A&M without him, you ain't winning the title, so.
Well, and if you're them, don't you got to at least think about next week? Because next week
could get a little sticky.
I mean, look, if Tennessee beats LSU, next week in Knoxville
is that next week?
Yeah, it's going to be nutty.
Third Saturday in October, yeah.
I mean, if Tennessee's unbeaten when Alabama comes to town.
And it's up there.
Oh, it's going to be goofy.
We saw what that looks like.
Yeah.
Is it 2:30?
Yeah, 3:30 Eastern. So 3:30 game in Knoxville. Yeah, it'd be pretty.
Calhoun's going to be slammed that day, boy.
Don't you know?
Get those damn riblets. I mean, it is going to be ready to go.
Calhoun's.
I don't like Knoxville.
I don't either.
I don't. It's one of my least favorite.
It's fine.
Places.
Yeah.
In the league.
It's.
I mean, we don't go up there much, but that's one of my least favorite lines.
I remember Caroline talking about wanting to go look at UT, and I was like, you won't like it.
It's one of the few I've seen all three sports.
Really?
I've done baseball, football, and basketball at UT.
Yeah, I've covered football, basketball. I've never covered baseball there.
You ain't missing much. Well, it's been a while. I've never covered it. My Ole Miss UT was just going. My family had taken a vacation to Gatlinburg, and Ole Miss just happened to play Tennessee. While we were up there, Chris Burke was still playing for Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
So it's been two decades ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever. Whenever that was.
Weren't y'all doing a Gatlinburg vacation when you went and covered football too?
Probably. My mother's a big guy. Hey, I mean, her and Jay would get along real well.
Yeah, because I think you went to that game.
I did go to that game.
You had to go because I couldn't. I got the flu.
Oh, that's right.
I just could not move that day. I was going to go on Friday, and a Friday I was so sick I just couldn't go.
That was the Houston Davern Gerald's broke his leg.
Mm-hmm.
It was Derek Dooley's best win as a Vol.
That was the day that I called some boosters, and they were like, changes have to be made on the coaching staff. And I wrote that story.
Houston
came over to me at the Monday practice. They were getting ready to go to LSU, and he goes, So I've got to get rid of coaches, huh? And I just went, have you read the story?
Is that weekend?
Yeah, I said, did you read the story? And he goes, no. And I pulled it out on my phone and gave it to him. And he stood there. And we're in front of one of the coaches that I named is probably going to have to go.
Because this is like Ron and those guys. Yeah, that's right.
And he reads it, and he looks at me and goes, good sources? I went, yeah, come on. And sure enough, at the end of the year, he made changes. It's like, why we do this dance is beyond me.
That's right. Masoli got a concussion. I mean, it was bad. It was like 55-14 or 17
it was bad.
Or something.
It was bad.
I'm not even like doing a bit. He yelled at somebody. Like, he jumped on Chuck or something that day where it was like, okay, you're frazzled. Like, I forget what it was, but there was some sort of something with him after the game. And that, because it's their media place for visiting media, at least at that time, was really bad. It was kind of underneath the stadium and you couldn't hear. And there was just, it was chippy anyway, but then it got chippier because nobody could hear anybody else in Tennessee celebrate. It was kind of one of those, yeah, one of those deals. It was kind of like the 11 at Vanderbilt when James Franklin had them all going and
man,
Ole Miss tried to celebrate the Moncrief fourth quarter touchdown, but it's 30-0 to Vanderbilt.
I know. And I was standing on the sideline talking to Pete Boone.
He said it was unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, we've told that story so many times, but it remains one of the wildest days.
Pete said it's unacceptable.
I figured he would just blow me off.
He did not.
And he did not.
And then you said he should be fired. Damn, Neil. He gives you a quote. Then you try to run him out of town.
Well, because he did the Monday press conference that you can't do. He's either your coach or he's not your coach. And if he is not your coach.
Did we have the vote of confidence? No, it was the gone.
It was – he came in and he basically just
– But that was weeks later.
No, it was –
Was
two,
it then?
It was Monday.
Oh, see, I'm getting all my weeks mixed up.
He came in on that Monday and he said that he basically repeated the unacceptable thing, that it has to be better. And I was like, you can't do this publicly with the man sitting in the room. You castrate him. In other words, now
– Okay, that's right.
Remember, he's got to go recruit.
And then it was Kentucky week when they made the change, and Burns got up and yelled to the room and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lost it in Lexington.
Bad.
Yeah, because that was the night of the big game of the millennium, Alabama, LSU, and Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, because we went ahead and got content ready for the next day, and I was –
Well, yeah, I called you and I was
was very – I was getting very drunk when you told me to stop. And
yeah, because I called you and I was like, what are you doing? And you're like
– I was like watching the game drinking. Like,
yeah,
what do you think
and I was like, hey, slow down on the drinking because we probably got to work.
Yeah.
And then at 10 o'clock I went trying –
Well, because I can remember when you wrote the Pete Boone Must Go column, and I remember I hit the button. I just poured a drink and said, well, all right, here we go. Watch the message board for the next hour.
That was the day that I think some people here were like, you know, this guy's a problem.
Houston did do that. Play cards with this player's name on them. Literally, they had a big play card that said TS, and they would give the ball to Tobias. It was like, I mean, I'm just saying, seems maybe scoutable.
They know what's coming. When you literally telegraph it?
It had TS on it. Look, the end of the... I really hate Neil wasn't there for La Tech that night. I really hate you missed the La Tech game.
Yeah.
Because I've got... You got the bear with the box on his head. You got the running back for La Tech running for like 285 and a blowout win.
Yeah.
And then I like the guy, so I'm not going to use his name, but I've got the La Tech reporter sitting here in my ear telling me how La Tech should be in the SEC. And I'm like, I am in hell right now. All the way around, I'm just in hell. Like, there's no.
I was in Starkville going,
you were.
I'm so glad I'm here.
Oh, God. It was. It's like, what is the. They're already dead. They're just getting beat with a stick right now. There's no.
Well, there was nothing.
And then Houston, they play the Egg Bowl, and he's wearing, like, the flat bill cap, and it's raining. And
Oh, I remember that. First time ever you're going to wear the cap.
Yeah, at the end.
Yeah. He finally sort of resigned at the end.
Oh, he was actually kind of pleasant.
I remember having to go to the practices in November going, why am I here?
Well, do you remember, it was a really eerie deal because, eerie is not the right word. It was strange because we would do the press conferences or the interviews for practice in that hallway. And you could see into the offices where everything was already boxed up.
Yeah.
They had all cleaned the offices out Egg Bowl week. And you could see the boxes in the offices just sitting there waiting on the game to end for everybody to get moved out.
Yeah.
I mean.
That was the game. People were banging on the table. You're like, wait, what did you expect?
He did bang on the table.
What did you think was going to happen tonight?
I mean, you could hear it. I mean, it's an outdoor press box with cowbells, and you could hear it, and it was boom. And yeah.
I literally was like, wait. This is precisely what I expected tonight. What is it?
Yeah, had Ole Miss had some inspired effort, we'd all went, where the hell did that come from?
Where'd these guys come from? And as soon as that kind of rolled over middle of the first quarter, I was like, yep. That's yep.
It was 31-0 or 31-3 or something.
I think it was 3.
Was it 3?
Yeah. Oh, what a bad throw by Matt Ryan.
Pick?
Yeah, I mean, threw it right to him.
I'd love to get Houston on the podcast. I think Houston would be fun 10 years later.
I mean, I'll reach out to him.
Yeah, I think he would be good.
I think he'd do it.
I do.
What would we talk about?
All of this? Not the 2011 Rebels.
But we'd have to talk about that some, wouldn't we? Would we ask him?
I mean, if he's
going to. Would you ask him why he hated me so much?
Well, you had the LSU hat on that day. I mean, shit, you asked for it. I think, I mean, in all seriousness, if you could really have the real conversation.
Yeah.
The question is, what happened in recruiting in 2009? Why did it go so poorly? And did you just not think it was doable? Like, what really was going through your mind?
Or were you just tired?
Well, yeah, sure. Because, I mean, he went through hell in Fayetteville and then comes straight over.
Yeah. Were you just tired?
Yeah, like, what happened?
Did the exhaustion just kind of hit you?
Because, look, he's not a bad football coach.
Well, no, actually, the
Houston's a good football
the
coach.
2008 job was a hell of a job. That team, by the end of the season, it was hell on wheels.
I mean,
that team at the end of 2008 was that was legit.
He had a chip on his shoulder, and he was energized, and those guys played for him after
through a wall for him.
Yeah. But
and then in 2009, it just – he got. I thought at the end of 2009 he was tired.
2009 was taxing in a lot of ways. 2009 was really taxing. You had the weird thing with the camera crew and the top five ranking and – just everything. You had the weird South Carolina game that Houston kind of lost because of not playing Dexter correctly. And
I remember at a practice a couple of weeks before the season started in 2009, Chris Lowe was standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me. And obviously Chris knows me from way back. And he's like, what do you think? And I said, man, I don't know. Something's off a little bit. And he's like, yeah, they're really tight. He goes, I've never seen Houston so tight. And I was like, yeah, I think it's one thing to be the underdog, and it's another thing to be the hunted.
They were on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I mean,
well, it's going to be a storyline for us in a couple of weeks. Listen, yeah. If this season goes the next 10, what's today, Thursday, next 9 days, the way that we think it's going to go?
7-0.
Ole Miss is going to go to LSU ranked 6, 7 in the national championship conversation.
Mm-hmm.
As the hunted. Not the hunter, not the underdog, the hunted. It's different. That's a different deal. How do you handle that? And for some teams, it's like, hey, I love it. This is great. Let's go. And for some teams, it's overwhelming. I remember that Ole Miss team in 14 knocked off Alabama, went to A&M. went to A&M,
popped the
basically
Aggies.
Blew them out.
Yeah.
And then they went to LSU that night, and hey, it got...
After Tennessee. They beat A&M,
oh,
Tennessee.
That's right. They blew out Tennessee, and then they went to LSU, and they were the hunted, and
didn't handle
LSU was hunting. And Ole Miss got weird.
Well, look, it's the interesting thing. We talk about all this stuff kind of coming full circle. If they get through those two, and then... whether it's by 1 point or 10 or 100, they find a way to survive LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to 8-0. Just, I get it, play it out. You've got a bye week in A&M before an impossibility of keeping everyone from thinking it's the
Super Bowl. It's A&M, then a bye week.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Like, I can't even imagine having to do the 2 weeks leading up to Alabama. Had they beaten A&M in that scenario where it's
oh,
just...
God. We would have to be like, look, this first week, we're going to have to treat this like a recovery week because we know what's coming.
We'll talk about that later. It's
who does Alabama play the week before they play Ole Miss?
I don't know.
Is it State?
I literally have no idea. No, they play State the week that Ole Miss plays LSU.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Is it LSU? I mean, hell, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I mean, a lot of carts before horses. I'm just...
I mean, I was just thinking... Never mind. I don't want to say it out loud. Drew says, on a serious note, has Ole Miss done anything to recognize Jevon Snead? That's a good question.
Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know what his family situation and stuff is. On a scale of 0 to 10, what was the chance y'all would have ever admitted out loud if you hadn't liked the Wave 3 Realtree hat? A 0. We would, but on the flip side,
I wouldn't have told you I liked it and lied.
I wouldn't have told you that I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would have just been like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. We would have stayed silent on it.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have ripped it in large part because I like Tyler, and full disclosure, we'd love to have a business relationship with them. But I wouldn't have lied about it and told you I thought it was really, really cool. So I'll just tell you, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much I liked it, a 10.
Yeah, we're working on things with Tyler. I'm not going to, hey, let me tell you, that was a, but I know I legitimately did like it, though.
Yeah, I thought it was real. I thought it was badass.
Yeah.
Honest to God. I mean, I think they're going to wear it against Auburn if the SEC lets them.
Yeah, real quick on that, there's no red tape from Tyler. They would love to, I mean, obviously he would like them to wear the damn thing every week. And Lane would like to wear it a lot.
Yeah,
this is outside of their purviews.
This is an SEC thing.
I don't know. I mean,
I'm pretty sure it is. And it's not the SEC out to get Ole Miss or anything like that. It's that the SEC knows that as soon as this happened, other schools started working on things. And so the SEC has to be careful that you don't become NASCAR. Like, they made them take the emblem off.
The Realtree logo.
Thank you. I said emblem. I meant logo. They made them take the Realtree stuff off.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let them wear it on the chin strap.
Yeah, that was for marketing only.
Yeah. And so, because if you're the SEC, you got to be careful that you don't open up a can of worms where all of a sudden everybody...
It's plastering stickers. You look like a minor league wall.
Yeah. In this era of NIL, where if you're Greg Sankey, you are trying to protect brands and such. I get it. It's cool. But my suspicion is that Ole Miss gets to wear them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they'll wear them again.
I do too.
I think you will see them with a red jersey.
Oh?
My guess. That's not inside.
That would look good.
That's just my guess.
That would look good.
Tyler said on the show, he either said it on the podcast a couple days ago or... He said it around the podcast, and it wasn't like it was state secret. They found out about a week before Saturday they were going to wear the powder, that it was kind of up in the air until about a week before.
Oh, okay.
And then he found out they were wearing powder blue with the hat.
Red would look good with it.
Yeah, I think red would look really good.
Yeah, and I thought the powder looked really good.
I mean, I thought the red looked good on the sketches that with the juice tweet back in June.
Yeah.
I thought that was the one that looked the best. So... Anyway.
Is it just me? The SEC put out a tweet today that had a human voice attached to Juice, and I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, just let Juice be Juice. He's a dog. Don't put a human voice with him where you pretend to think what he says. How do we know what the dog's thinking?
On the NIL contract, I did laugh out loud at the mixed breed dogs from Texas.
I did.
That was a good shot. That was well done.
But I don't like it when people try to speak for a dog because you don't know what the dog's thinking. How do you know if the dog could talk that's what the dog would be saying? How do you really know? Stop.
You think Juice knows he's popular?
Yeah.
You think the dog knows?
Yeah.
Because he showboats a little bit. He prances.
Well, Lane was quoted as saying he's got to bring his ego down after game day. I can see it. You're walking through a crowd of thousands of people and everyone's saying your name and petting you? Yeah.
You're well-liked.
You're probably thinking, hey, I'm the deal.
He doesn't go in many rooms where he's skittish. We'll put it that way.
He feels himself.
He's a good-looking dog.
He's that. Ben says, I teed up a Realtree segment. Yeah, I mean, we make no bones about it. We'd love to get something done with them. And I think they'd like to get something done with us, maybe. So we'll,
yeah, I feel good about it.
Somewhere down the road, we'll make it happen. All right. Yeah. God, says what a life. Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, look, if you're going to be a dog, being Juice Kiffin right now is not the worst. It's not the worst gig in the
Lane
world.
Lane looked over and saw the human can opener and went, "I'll just fix the damn thing myself. I'll have my own dog, and we will solve this."
I haven't looked for him, and I'm the one in the stadium. You were in the stadium for half of the game the other day. Did you see the can opener?
I didn't look for him, but I
did
not
see
him. No. Was he there?
I don't know.
Has the shark been at games? I mean, we could find this answer out really quick, but
The more I think about it, I don't think I've seen him. Now, I've not looked for him.
Is he only fluffier in some of the pictures, or is he actually fluffier in, quote, real life? Because, you know, the logos and graphics made him look fluffier over the offseason when we saw him.
Yeah. I don't know the answer to this.
You know, up on your mascot beat?
Well, I normally notice mascots, and I haven't seen him.
Although, if you said, did you see Kentucky's Wildcat, I don't remember seeing their Wildcat either.
No.
And he was probably there.
He probably was there, but if I went to a Kentucky game, I bet I'd see him.
So you think you noticed the home team mascot, not the away team?
Because they put him on the field. If I go to an Auburn game, I'm going to see Aubie.
He'll be with the band.
If I go to an Alabama game, I'm going to see Big Al. When I went to the Arkansas game last year, I saw all the Arkansas mascots.
Sue E. And
they got Big Red.
Yeah.
Sue E.
They have three.
Pork Chop.
Oh, they have a baby.
Yeah, because Pork Chop's jersey number is 1/2.
Okay.
Yeah, and you see it everywhere. Yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, people can make fun all you want, but here's the one thing I'll tell you. I've been inside the Arkansas bookstore thing, and people are buying the mascot. They're buying the stuffed animal. Mm. So you can make fun all you want. It works.
Yeah, Florida, I'm sure, sells the hell out of Al and Allie.
They absolutely do. I've seen people go into the bookstores and buy them.
Yeah.
At Tennessee, they what's the dog's name, Smokey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you see him everywhere. So when a little kid takes a stuffed Smokey home, that's a heartstring. I mean, make fun all you want.
No, it's this.
Got Cocky?
Yeah.
If you go to a South Carolina game, you see Cocky everywhere.
There was a while there they really marketed the hell out of Cocky. They did a good job with him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen as much of it in years, but yeah.
Mitchell says the shark is gone. I have a source.
Okay.
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
Sammy's tweet.
Yeah.
Sammy's
sorry, can't.
It's not going to make it, but I did get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I got to find the number.
The team still uses the shark on their defensive board.
They do have the shark.
In the locker room.
It's better looking than the mascot.
It is, isn't it? It's fine.
It's fine.
They've had sharks in every category, every game, except for stop game breaker against Kentucky, which tells me Barry and Brown was the pre-assigned game breaker.
Ben, I'm going to be in Tupelo tomorrow. I think the team's arriving at 4. I'm getting there at 3 to set up the welcome party, and I'm going to hang out with the guys until about 6, and then Sam and Kendall and I are going to dinner, and then I'm going to go to the meetings, and then
you're gonna go to the meetings.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna spend the night there in the hotel and get up Saturday morning and head to the stadium with the team.
Yeah,
it's gonna be exciting. Got all my hog gear ready to go. Got my hog hat ready to roll.
Well, it's already up there.
Yeah, it's up there. I'm ready. If it's a sunny day, I'm ready.
Houston.
No, I'm actually headed to I'm going to Franklin tomorrow. I'm going to Franklin, and Chris Lee is giving me a ride to the stadium on Saturday for the Ole Miss Vanderbilt game. All seriousness. I'm pulling up the number. I got to go find it here.
239 something.
Yeah, I've got it here written down. There it goes.
Hey, coach, over. Yeah.
662-259-8563 is the number. And if you guys want to call in. It's 8:25 as we do this. You guys determine how long we stick around on a Thursday night. It is literally up to you.
Ask on the board, how many Oxford Exxon podcasts have been produced since its inception? 2,500? I mean, it's been a little over 10 years.
200, yeah, 2,500. 10 times 200 is 2,000. Yeah, 2,500.
Yeah, 250 itch a year.
Hey, who do we have?
Hey, it's Moose.
Hey, Moose, what's up?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just I got some blackened chicken on the grill. So I called last week about the SEC Pick'em Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so LSU, Auburn last week. By the hair, by the skin of my teeth.
That was close.
You've had 2 weeks in a row that have been pretty tough there.
What was that?
You've had 2 weeks in a row that have been a little tough.
Yeah, I know. I know, man. But week five, let's see.
We lost it. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, it's Steve in Greenville.
Hey, Steve, what's up?
Hey, I've been my next door neighbor's kid is a journalist major, and I've been asking her, you know, what do y'all learn in journalism class? To me, it's just report what happens and go on about your day. But she recorded some of her classes to let me get an idea of what she's learning. And her professor said that most people in a press box can be broken down into four categories.
Ooh.
And I want to see where y'all rated yourself. He said a journalist who investigates, breaks stories, what have you.
Okay.
A reporter who doesn't really investigate, just asks questions and reports what happens. A writer who just writes the story, and then the fan.
Well, two and three is a little mixed up there. I would not categorize it in that instance.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's four types. There's the reporter who also investigates, but he or she also writes. There is the writer / reporter who just
the machine gun beat writer.
Yeah, the machine gun beat writer who can't really dig on a story, but can ask questions, can turn those answers into a story.
And columnist.
And then there's the columnist who's there for opinions, and then there's fans.
Yeah, it's four, but I would change up some of the categories.
Okay, and the other thing he said that sports reporters should never live in the city where the team they cover. They should live at least 1 hour away.
Well, that's stupid for logistic purposes. Yeah, that's somebody who's never done it because that's literally not feasible.
That would suck.
He said because you become friends with the people you're having to cover.
Not really. Not really. I mean,
here's the truth. You don't get a lot of heads up. You find out about a time and a meeting and stuff. You would just be camping out all day.
Yeah.
I mean, the Daily Journal did it for a long time with Parrish, but otherwise, like, you're better off being close by just for logistics purposes.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, in 20 some odd years of being a reporter, beat writer, covering teams, how many people have I actually become friends with that I cover? Like, so I'll use football as an example. I use football and basketball. In football, I became friends with Noel Mazzoni when I was covering Auburn. And vowed to myself when that was over that I would never be friends with someone else that I covered again. I was friends with Siski at Ole Miss. Not like super close, not like we've become really good friends now, but we were friends. That sucked because, basically I was on the phone with Tyler the day that they got fired.
That's right.
And, I mean, I don't think he'll mind me sharing this. At one point in that conversation, he said, "Hey, can you wait until we get back to tell our families?" And I said, "No, I can't," which I'm sure pissed him off, but it was me doing my job. And I was friends with Andy Kennedy. I think that's pretty well known. Andy and I were friends, and we're much better friends today than we were when he was the Ole Miss coach. But that didn't stop me from doing my job. It really didn't. Are there people who become so close to coaches that they lose their objectivity? Yes. You've seen it here a bunch. But that's those. But typically, and this isn't an insult at those people, it's just a fact, typically those people are going to become friends with whoever the coach is. It doesn't matter. because that's what's most important to them.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Yep, no problem.
Bye.
I mean, you're friends with Carl Lafferty.
Yeah.
Y'all are friends.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't stop you from doing your job.
No.
Might have made it awkward a time or two, but it didn't stop you from doing your job.
No, and I mean, it's one of those deals, too, where there's a very clear rule. Like, basically, I'll talk to him for months during baseball season, and we don't ever mention baseball, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's not a thing. I'm not calling him going, hey, I'm here and you're doing – this is not even
– Right.
It's not part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I would talk to Andy. We would talk about other stuff. I mean, we wouldn't talk, hey, how's your guard situation looking?
Because, I mean, clearly I thought he was out of a job for a portion of the baseball
because he was.
Yeah, I mean.
He was out of a job. Not that anybody's really trying to rewrite that history anymore, but there are people that sometimes try to rewrite that history, and I'm like, stop.
It was over.
It was done.
Your shirt is interesting.
It's a you Grizzlies fans should like it. It's a Steven Adams shirt.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Yes, I used to listen. I still listen to it. A Thunder podcast. And is this Grind?
Yeah, it was Grind.
Hey, Grind, hang on 1 second. I'll finish the story, then I'll get to you, okay? I listened to a Thunder podcast, and one of their sponsors was a T-shirt company. And they had a T-shirt of the month. And because I liked the podcast so much, I was like, well, I'll support one of their sponsors. And this was one of the shirts. It was a Steven Adams.
So it wasn't all Thunder shirts or anything. It was just random stuff.
Yeah, it was just stuff. And this was when Steven Adams was with the Thunder. And
yeah.
I don't know. It looks like a Celtic shirt, frankly.
It really does. That's what it does.
But I just, you know, I like the Thunder. I've got a Lou Dort shirt. I've got a Steven Adams shirt. I've got a, I think I've got a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander shirt. I know I've got Russell Westbrook stuff. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. Grind, what's up?
Yo, man. Shoot, this is on the show, man. God dang. Been listening to Texas. I'm trying to take the attitude that they've been trying to give their fans, man. It seems like the Kool-Aid been wearing off, but I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to follow the Texas way.
Fill me in.
Well, man, as they say, man, it's better to be a positive panda than an angry alligator, as they say on the Texas. When they were talking to their fans, man, oh, my goodness. They said it's better that you can either look at things one way or look at things the other way. And, I mean, like they say, you know, maybe Annen can go out there and show them some things that, hey, maybe the Aggies can go 9-3. You never know. So, I mean, hey, it's better to look at it like that.
You know, I mean, in a lot of ways, they're on to something, right? I mean, life's happier if you just convince yourself that it's all going to be okay. But it sort of,
yeah, I guess so.
But it sort of feels like that's like the guy that's put on 50 pounds and he takes his shirt off and he looks in the mirror and he goes, you know what? It's okay. If I look at it myself from this angle, I'm all right. Are you really doing yourself a service at that point, or would you be better off going, you know what? It happens. I've gained weight. Lots of people gain weight. I've gained weight. It doesn't make me a worse person, but I need to lose this weight. So I've got to come up with a strategy to start losing weight. That seems like the better approach than going, you know, it's okay. I think I can order another plate of ravioli.
Well, in your scenario with the guy that gained weight, he would exactly be a positive panther. I mean, if he got big as a panda, there you go right there.
Yeah.
Man, now, because my Saturday, look, I knew we gonna get to Auburn, man. But I knew what was up with the Tigers. I did not think though. And Chase, I'm gonna have to give you props, man. You called it on Oklahoma. Brent Venables?
You think that's over?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
they ain't winning nothing.
You kind of think it's over.
I had
to define over.
You know that what you're looking at, and they're never gonna win big under him.
No, they're not going to – I don't think they're even a playoff team at any point under him.
Okay.
No.
Hey, I'm going to say this. Your boy Kerry on his podcast said that was the worst loss he's seen since he was a kid.
Yeah, you know what?
Here was going crazy.
I was watching him on Twitter, and he was kind of saying, hey, don't spin this into, hey, this is part of the process or this is part of the rebuild. He was like, no, this is just bad. Let it be what it is.
They legit think that Oklahoma might not make a bowl game.
Well, I mean,
they legit think that.
I mean, look, I don't,
because after they play, I didn't know after they play Texas, they get Kansas at home, and Kansas ain't gonna be no pushover, man.
No, well, the rumor is, and I don't know this to be true, so let me stress it as rumor, okay? But the rumor is Gabriel's out for a little while.
So who's the quarterback?
Beats the hell out of me. Somebody not named Dylan Gabriel.
Exactly.
So Oklahoma's schedule, they're 3-2. Texas, Kansas, Iowa State, Baylor, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. I mean, they're going to find three more, but
I don't know.
I mean, you're having to really reach to. They're probably.
Yeah, you just told Oklahoma fans, hey, you can find three more. Come on.
Well, I know. I mean, yeah.
Come on.
But you ain't finding five more.
So three more gets them to six wins.
Yeah.
I mean, 6-6 and having to go to the whatever bowl that is at that point.
Yeah.
That's massive failure there.
Hey, and look, y'all, I don't know who y'all was talking to over the summer when y'all said Oklahoma and Texas weren't ready for the SEC, but boy, y'all was right.
I mean,
it's frankly been the predominant thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, Grind, I talked to a lot of people who said that. Including people at Oklahoma. Now people at Texas are like, oh, no, we're going to be okay. People at Oklahoma were like, hey, we got some issues.
Yeah, I was talking to media members that were in Omaha covering Oklahoma's baseball team there at the end, and they were saying that essentially Oklahoma needed the time to figure themselves out because from a facility standpoint, from a money standpoint, from a direction of the program, everything just needed a minute. They thought they could get there, but that it was not there right now, that they were not in the Big 12. They did not have to be as efficient as they have to be in the SEC.
The rumor is, and again, rumor, but the rumor is that everything is in place for them to bolt a year early and join in 2024, and the only people that are against it are them.
Wow.
Now, I don't know that to be true. It's a rumor. I'm not vouching for it. I'm not reporting it. I'm just saying it's kind of out there. That they're the ones that don't really want to get there early. They want to buy themselves as much time as possible. Because, look, this league's a bitch now. This league's a bitch. You look at last Saturday with Ole Miss and Kentucky. Ole Miss and Kentucky, those are two good teams. I'm telling you, I've been on SEC fields for a long time. I've covered a lot more than Ole Miss. I've covered Auburn. I've covered Alabama. I've basically covered LSU as a beat writer. I know good SEC teams when I see them, and those were two good SEC teams, and those are not supposed to be good SEC teams. Those are teams that the blue bloods, if you will, take for granted. And if Ole Miss and Kentucky are going to be good, and Ole Miss and Kentucky have been pretty good over the last couple of years, if Ole Miss and Kentucky are going to be good, it's going to be an absolute awakening for Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, yeah. I agree, man. I agree.
Because, I mean, you already know you got to play. You got to play Alabama, and you got to play Georgia.
Ole Miss is kind of, I mean, if they can keep it up to any extent, raise their profile. It's not even that. It's that damn trip to Starkville where they're not at all considering Mississippi State, and you can go in there and get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I've used this example.
A&M is 5-6 against Mississippi State since they joined the SEC.
Look at Texas last year when they went up to Fayetteville.
Just got popped.
Got absolutely dragged through that game, and if Jefferson doesn't make a really bad throw, it's a 40-point loss. It was a 30-point loss.
Did any of us pick Oklahoma this week?
No, we all picked Texas.
Okay. Go ahead, Grant.
Yeah, man, I think you got to pick Texas, man. You got to. I wanted to hit around the SEC right quick before I got there and give you guys a little trivia to try to win a Super Chat.
Oh, okay.
But so with LSU Tennessee, I haven't seen the picks yet, man. I've been busy as heck today. Who y'all got for that game, man?
I went with Tennessee just because I think they're better, but I'm nervous about it because it's LSU at home.
I think I believe in Tennessee, and if I do that, this is a game they win. If Tennessee is legitimately for real and elevated as a program, this is a game they win.
I'm with y'all. I'm with y'all. I think Tennessee kind of wins by 10. Okay. 10 to 13. I'm with y'all on that.
Yep.
Ole Miss Vanderbilt. I think that's a nondescript game. I think Ole Miss covers the game going. I will say though, man, Ole Miss, man, they done pissed me off the past 2 weekends, bro, with the cover. The unders have been nice, but the cover, you was up by 15. It was either 15 or 22 against Tulsa. And I put my phone, I went to another game. I was like, oh yeah, man, Rebels got that in the bag. I'm good on that. You went the whole second half. I meant to bring this up last weekend. I'm still pissed. I meant to bring this up last weekend. And then, man, look, I know everybody was talking about how the Kentucky Ole Miss game was supposed to be this tight game, you know, Ole Miss barely squeak out. Dude, I'm not trying to be that guy, but that game should have played out how I said. Kentucky was not as efficient. They was out there looking like Charlie Brown on field goals. Ole Miss should have won by at least 8-9 points. They should have covered that set.
Ole Miss has 3 fourth quarter points through 5 games. 3.
They killing me on the spreads, man. Well, they killing me.
It's wild on Saturday. I mean, look, it's a coin flip. I could very easily lose by picking Vanderbilt to cover that game. I don't think it's going to be a game from a win-loss standpoint. But if you told me Ole Miss wins that game 31-13, okay. That's 18 points.
Yeah, sure.
I mean
that's about what they did last year with Matt Corral.
Yeah, it was 30. Was it last year? I don't remember. 31-13. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I can see that. And lastly, last game for the trivia, I'm just seeing this Georgia-Auburn game, man. I'm thinking Georgia covers and gets the over by themselves, honestly. I'm thinking it's nasty.
But so you think Georgia looks like itself?
I think this game looks similar to the South Carolina game for Georgia. What they beat South Carolina like 48-7, I can see this game being 52-6.
Oof. Wow, really?
Oof.
Something like that. Oh my goodness, yes.
What's the early?
You talking about Auburn, a team that almost leads the country in turnovers. They've turned the ball over like 9-10 times in their last 3 games. You go to Athens and give Georgia the ball 3 times.
Let me ask you this: what's the early line on Auburn at Ole Miss next week? Ole Miss minus.
I would say
12.
Ole Miss minus 14 and a half.
I was going to say 12 and a half.
Yeah.
No, I could see 14 and a half, them putting the hook on it. 2-4 touchdowns.
Phew. Hey, boy, Robert, yep. Bobby Ashford hit some throws last week early. He was off and running.
Now, you're going to get me started on a whole other thing on how Harsin can't coach and whatnot, man.
When are they going to fire him? Is he going to finish the year?
Mm-mm.
Hey, if this Georgia game is how I'm saying, he out after this.
He's out.
Ole Miss will probably be facing Zach Etheridge or somebody like that.
I think it's after Ole Miss if they lose.
So both. You think Kirby or Lane will fire Harsin?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
Man, look, if this, We had Gus served up on a platter a couple years ago coming to Oxford, and y'all let me down. Do not let me down. Do not let me down.
Trust us, we don't want to. We've got to
need them to finish the job right now.
We need the W's to keep rolling. We're
in the middle of something.
Yeah, we're in the middle of something. Just think about my shirt.
All right, I got you. All right, man. Here go some trivia, man. I'm going to give y'all seven head-to-heads that I'm going to give you guys. I'm going to say 2 teams, and you have to tell me who leads the all-time series between the 2 teams.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
How many we got to get right?
Can you guys do?
4 out of 7.
4 out of 7, okay.
Got to get 4 out of 7. All right. Notre Dame versus Michigan.
Michigan. Okay. Michigan.
You guys are going to go with Michigan?
Yeah, we're going with Michigan, sure.
Michigan leads the series 25-17. They won the last game between the 2 teams.
Hell yeah, let's go. Wolverines, let's go.
All right. Let's we're going to do Tennessee versus Auburn.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Tennessee.
Oh, you think Tennessee?
I mean,
I was going to think Auburn. Yeah. We'll go Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yep.
All right. Auburn actually leads the series 29-22.
Oh.
They won the last matchup.
All right.
I was hoping Johnny Majors could have pulled me through on that.
All right. Minnesota versus Iowa.
I mean, Neil, this is your wheelhouse. What is the Minnesota, the history of the Gophers?
It's got to be Iowa here. It's got to be Iowa. They've been an overall better program. I'm going to say Iowa.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We locking in Iowa?
Yeah, we'll lock in Iowa.
All right. Iowa has won 7 straight, but Minnesota leads the series 62-51.
Son of a bitch.
Okay.
All right.
Notre Dame versus USC.
I mean, like, what the hell was going on in, like, the
30s, or
30s and 40s I saw and 50s.
I saw a picture today of Notre Dame, USC. Babe Ruth was wearing a Notre Dame uniform. Lou Gehrig was wearing a USC uniform.
Oh, that's cool.
Notre Dame was, I mean, Babe Ruth was fat. Lou Gehrig looked like a damn stud.
Did he really?
Yeah, Lou Gehrig was one put together dude. I mean, Lou Gehrig was a good looking guy. I'm just going to tell you that. Lou Gehrig was like, he was turning it. When he walked into the room, you thought, well, son of a bitch, I'm not going to leave with her. He is.
I feel like Notre Dame has been better in every decade. Like, has been pretty good in every decade. I'm going to go Notre Dame.
Okay, Chase is going Notre Dame. I'll go with that.
All right, you guys are 1-2 so far.
2-2. Oh, you mean, okay. We didn't get this one either?
Yeah. Notre Dame has won 4 in a row against the Trojans, and they lead the series 48-36.
Oh,
good job. Way to go, Chase. All right, so we're 2-2. It's a 3-game set now.
2-2. And these last 3, ooh, man.
Oh.
Cal versus Oregon.
Oh good my God.
God.
I mean,
all right, I'm gonna go Cal here because
Oregon has no history, right?
Right.
At all?
Yeah, and so the recent history is gonna be Oregon, but it's gonna be overall Cal.
Okay.
Cal.
Whatever.
Bears.
This series record right now is 42-41.
Son of a God. Bitch.
The team that won last year leaves the series.
Oh, that was Oregon.
That team was Cal.
Oh.
Cal leaves the series.
Boom! I knew it.
42-41.
Never a doubt. Never a doubt.
No shit. Okay.
Look at Murray the Moose is over there going, he had it all along. Yep.
Duke versus Wake Forest.
Duke versus Wake Forest. We're talking football still?
Yeah, basketball or what? Tim Duncan.
Like, what are we? Grant Hill.
I mean,
Christian Laettner, Chris Paul. Hell. My gut
wasn't Wake like
my guts. Wake was horrible
for a long time,
but so was Duke. But Duke did have Steve Spurrier.
That's what I was wondering. Did he? They win for a decade because of Spurrier, however long. Just
Duke.
You gonna lock in Duke?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, hell, I don't have anything to go the other way.
Why not? Should we not?
Wake Forest has won 3 in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Duke leaves the series 58-41.
Oh, wow. So Wake really did suck for a long time.
Yeah, they were bad. Remember that bottom 10 thing? They were in it all the time. When I was a kid, Sports Illustrated had the bottom 10.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they were always in it. Always.
Okay.
I guess we can do the last one.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Navy versus Air Force.
Navy versus Air Force.
I mean, your gut is Navy because that's like a Nor name team.
So the trick answer would be Air Force.
Do you think so?
We won already, so what difference does it make?
Okay. He's picking Air Force.
You locking in?
Yeah, why not?
Air Force leaves the series 33-22, and they've won 3 in a row.
Look at that.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, I would have
been looking
that
out
one.
For you guys in the super chat, man. I keep enjoying the show.
Right. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Grind. Appreciate you.
All right, man.
Hey, who do we have?
Hello, this is Rodney.
Hey, Rodney.
I recognize
Rodney,
you,
what's up?
Man, not much. How y'all this evening?
Oh, we're good.
Lovely.
Neil, I missed the live today with you and Siski. Did you take Mississippi State in the Arkansas game? Did you
No, I didn't. Neither one of us took it. We both said that if we knew Jefferson was playing, that we would take Arkansas in 9.5 because that's such a big number. But without knowing.
Neil, let me tell you something, buddy. I'm telling you, I've talked to some of these state people. They had two games circled. Now, I hate state. But they had two games circled, Memphis and this game. And I don't care if Richardson's playing or not. They're putting a roll operate because they're pushing them. I think they're pushing a roll on Arkansas because they're running the ball a little bit and they're starting to push the ball down the field. So, and I don't think Arkansas, their secondary, like y'all been saying, they do can't cover the pass. But they got a good defensive line. I understand that.
Yeah, they're okay. I think they're going to throw some 3-man and they're going to drop 8. They're going to do some different stuff this week. I mean, look, we can talk about Rodgers pushing the ball down the field all we want to. He doesn't do it. Everything's under.
He did against A&M.
Well, yeah, I guess a little bit.
They did.
I mean, we'll see. I think State's a good team.
I don't care. I mean, I just what I think. I mean,
look, if State wins, whether they win by 1 or by 40, they're going to wake up.
Oh yeah, it don't matter. Yeah, they're going to wake up by 40.
They're going to wake up 5-1, and suddenly we're going to start having a different conversation about Mississippi State.
Right. About this Wisconsin coach that got fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they crucified Ole Miss when Ole Miss fired Cutcliffe. And I was glad that they got rid of Cutcliffe because he was this average coach. We just were trying to do better. But this man up there is 41 games over 500. 41. Think about it.
Yeah, they. Chase was talking about this. There's a big story in The Athletic, right? Athletic wrote a big story about the inside on this. This was
apparently he spent months without a recruiting director in the program.
Yeah.
They literally just weren't recruiting for months.
I figured it had to be something going on. I mean, it's got to be something because you just don't fire a man 41 games over. I mean, most programs don't. Now, there's certain ones that will.
They saw signs and went, because of other coaches available and what they felt like they needed to do for the program, they thought waiting would be very prohibitive.
Barry Alvarez, the former coach there, is the AD, and he really likes Jim Leonard, and he would really love for Jim Leonard to get some momentum and win that job. And the best way to do that was to do it now.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't do that, they would like a shot at Leupold.
Because if you would like free money this week, take Wisconsin and lay the 10 points at Northwestern.
Oh, because they'll audition this week.
Yeah, they're Wisconsin's going to play a good football game on Saturday. Sucks. Northwestern sucks. It's free money.
All right, and now another thing. Now, I don't care either way because I think Ole Miss has been proving they can win with a pretty decent coach, Freeze, Kiffin coming in and winning. So I know Kiffin's going to move on at one point. At some point, but I don't think it's going to be a college team. I think it'll be pro. But I've got to think another because Brandon Walker keeps talking about Auburn. I don't know where he's getting that mess. But there's one team I thought about the other day that he might go to. You reckon he would go to A&M?
No, I mean maybe, but that's a bad fit.
Oof.
That's a bad fit. That place is weird.
Let's say like I got rid of Jimbo. I just got to think, I don't know.
Like if you told me that Texas opened up and they went after Lane, I'd be like, oh, look out. Goodbye. Pack his bags. But A&M?
Yeah. That place might be too weird.
They got a lot of money, too.
Yeah, they got a lot of money. They got a lot of money,
Rob. He threw a lot of that little glance look thing where he's like, what the hell?
Yeah, he's going to get off the plane, look at the
the Korean band.
The North Korean band and the guy cheerleaders and go, nah, I'm good. And they're not gonna make Juice the dog.
They have a dog.
They have a dog.
It's very
revered. Yeah, that's right. I forgot, but yeah, they do got that that collie.
They do.
Neil, I heard you and maybe both of y'all was talking about that stunt they pulled up there at Vanderbilt when that girl kicked that day, and then that guy come on today talking about it. See, stuff like that needs to be called out more. I wonder why people, I guess they can't do it. It's too much pressure on them not to say nothing. But they're going to get some young lady hurt one of these days.
If I worked for Gannett,
really
if I worked,
they can play in these sports, these SEC or pro ball. Yeah.
Rodney, if I worked for the for Gannett or something, and I said what I said, I would have been fired. But I work for me.
Really?
I work for me, and so I'm not going to fire myself for that.
Oh, okay.
And Rivals isn't going to fire me because I'm making them money.
They're going to get somebody hurt though.
Yeah, that was a publicity stunt that could have easily backfired. It was ill thought out. It was stupid, but they did it. They did it for all the politically correct reasons that you think they did it, and it was.
Oh yeah.
It was bad. It was bad. It was bad inside their locker room too.
I know I'm all over the place tonight, but I'm just shooting. You know what? When y'all about the home run thing. Now 73 was the record. Why do they keep showing that on my TV?
Because they are trying to tell you without telling you
got that record.
They're trying to tell you without telling you they believe the Bonds record is not legal. So this one is.
Well, I wonder if the pitchers were on steroids back in.
There is an argument to that they were hitting against pitcher
Clemens. Clemens was, but like,
and if they were on, if they was on steroids, I ain't ever seen where they was. If they was on steroids, does it help with your hand eye coordination hitting the ball?
Well, no, but your fly ball becomes a home run because you're stronger.
Yeah,
that's the thing,
and you can recuperate better. That's day to day.
That's the big thing.
Okay. Well, all right, I'm gonna get off here. But ain't no way we lose this game up here in Nashville, is it?
No, I don't think.
Please tell me.
No, they're gonna win. Hey, Rodney, before you go, will you say how big a boy are you?
Who me?
Yeah, well, you just say, just pause for a second and say, how big a boy are you?
Oh, I'm a big boy.
No, but I want you to say the words, how big a boy are you?
Oh, like my measurements?
No, I want you to say the words. Okay, I want you to say these.
Oh, nigga, boy, are you?
Yeah, so I want you to pause a second and then say it.
How big a boy are you?
Perfect. Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Rodney. Appreciate that.
Neil.
Yeah.
Before I leave, you remember what I told you? Oh, Rodney from Ripley. 38-10, Mississippi State.
Ooh. Okay. That's fine. I mean, listen, it's all right with me. I just hope Cam. I hope Cam makes his kicks. That's all I hope for.
All right, y'all all right. Have a good one.
All right, Rodney. People ask about my Arkansas fandom at this point. I just hope Cam makes his kicks. If it comes down to a kick, I hope Cam makes it. There we go.
Yeah, I like Rodney. And he does kind of sound like Roy D. Mercer.
He sounds just like him.
He does sound like Roy D. God, those foos are funny.
Yeah, I did it so that maybe we could put it in one of our things or something. I wanted to have a pause. And
that is good.
How big a boy are you? Send that to Jeffrey. Have him cut that up a little bit. Because it's probably time to do a new open soon.
It is.
And so that'd be perfect. How big a boy are you? He's like my measurements? Like, no, say the words.
Oh, that's good.
Just took a minute. We got there. I don't think Kiffin goes to Texas A&M. It's just terrible fit. Terrible fit. Texas, on the other hand, I mean, I'd be like, hey, he's gone. A&M, no.
We've always heard it, and it was on syndication. The Roy D. Mercer was created by a disc jockey on a morning show in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Is that right?
So Tulsa is where that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Ended up releasing 12 hours of recording.
What's up, Jarrett?
Hey, Neil. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine, man. So, you think Rodney's a big read between the lines guy?
Probably not.
So, my daughter told me when I was watching earlier that I look like you, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I took it as a compliment, man. I think you're a good-looking dude, and you're in great shape for a guy your age, so good on you.
Well, thanks, Jared. Also, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Also good on you for making the last correct pick with Grimes Trivia there. Chase, I'm canceling my book order because of what you said.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault. So I'll do some trivia, too. Who do you guys think has won the most division titles in Major League Baseball history?
The Yankees.
That is incorrect.
Cardinals. Chase?
Also incorrect.
Hmm.
The Atlanta Braves have won 22 division titles. Dodgers 20, Yankees 20, A's 17, and Cardinals 15.
Oh, how about that? I wouldn't.
You want me to say the next, Neil?
The one after Cardinals?
That would really, that shocks me just because of how many, you know, because back then you had to win the division to make the Super World Series, and because of all the Yankees. Huh, interesting.
The next one is the Cubs at 8, Neil.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
So, speaking of the Braves, Chase, were you locked in or excited about Braves winning 5 straight division titles, or are you kind of mad at this point?
I mean, I feel bandwagon-y if I get too carried away. I mean, I always sort of know the record. I will pull for them, but I'm a kind of a sidewalk fan. I still have not. I was really happy last year for a lot of people that I know, and I'm glad they won, but no, I have not locked back in to where I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Yeah, no, not really at all. I was Googling your question, by the way. It is worth noting, just to make me and Neil feel better, this is only counting since divisional play began in 1969, so it's not counting if you won the conference pennant.
So it's not counting when you just had to win the pennant, because then it would be Yankees.
Yeah, so just a little heads up there.
Yeah, I saw someone posted on the Braves subreddit that, and then I went and Googled it, and the first thing that came up said that. So that does make a lot of sense, because I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, man, with the Yankees have won more World Series than that, haven't they?
Yeah, it's like 26. Yeah, 20,
yeah, something
like that.
I mean, they're the preeminent franchise in baseball.
Yeah. So I have a question, and Neil, I'm not trying to call you out by saying this. So you probably don't remember, but I remember very distinctly in 2014 leading up to the LSU game, you know, there was a lot of talk being made about like, oh, it's going to be real hard for Ole Miss because it's Tiger Stadium at night. And I remember LSU wasn't that good that year, I think, maybe, or they were just okay. I think they were unranked when we played them, right?
I think so. I don't remember exactly. That was a weird year for me. That was 2 weeks after I'd run the marathon and stuff like that. I don't recall.
Right. Okay. So anyways, I distinctly remember you saying stadiums don't win football games.
Yeah.
And so
real quick, Jared, LSU was 6-2 and ranked 24th in the country.
Okay.
Okay. And we were 7-0 and like third.
That is correct. Right?
Yeah. Okay. So would it be safe to say that based on that game or other games, you know, since then, like I think the crowd, if not won the game, helped Ole Miss win the game on Saturday. Did you maybe change your position on that?
Not really. I mean, that game in Baton Rouge, I was there. If Ole Miss doesn't play like absolute dog shit in the first half, they win the game. They were the better team. The crowd did not get into that game until late.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's fair. I was just curious.
I thought the crowd played a role at the end of the Ole Miss Kentucky game, but Kentucky didn't.
Yeah, that's what I.
Kentucky didn't. I yeah, Kentucky didn't bog down in the first half because of the crowd. Kentucky bogged down in the first half because they got beat at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all I had tonight. So y'all be good. And, right. People have been complaining about me talking about Air Force too much, so I won't bring it up.
Appreciate it, Jared. Thank you.
See you, Jared.
All right, guys. Be good.
It's two really interesting Tony Gwynn stats in the thing from Wes. It says, if you want your mind blown, Tony Gwynn could have gone 0 for his last 1199 and still been a lifetime 300 hitter.
Wow.
And Aaron Judge struck out 179 times this season. Tony Gwynn didn't strike out 179 times in the 90s.
It's unreal. He was such an amazing hitter. And it was so weird the other day. I was listening to a Padres broadcast driving back from Tupelo. And Tony Gwynn Jr. is he's the analyst, I guess, for the Padres radio. And he sounds exactly like his dad.
Does he really?
Two or three times I had to tell myself, wait, Tony Gwynn, because they kept saying Tony. I'm like, wait, Tony Gwynn died. And then I realized who it was.
I didn't realize that was his job or whatever, what he was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Tony Gwynn was so amazing at the plate. You couldn't strike him out.
I knew the stat was crazy, but I found it here. Maddox faced 20,000 Greg Maddox.
Yeah.
Sorry, Neil. Faced 20,421 batters during his career.
Okay.
Only 310 saw a 3-0 count, and 177 of the 310 were intentional walks.
Unbelievable.
So he only went 3-0 on 100 and whatever, 40, 30, 33.
It's probably the angriest that a sports thing has ever made me. It was 1992. It was the day after, it was the first game back from the All-Star break. The Cubs were at home playing the Pittsburgh Pirates. And they announced that night that they had broken off negotiations with Greg Maddux. And he went out and shoved it up the Pirates' ass the way that he always did. And I thought, surely they're not going to let this guy walk away. And they did. Nothing in sports, Bartman, nothing.
Got you like Maddux.
Has ever made me as angry, as irrationally angry as I was about the Cubs letting Greg Maddux walk away. Because I would have, and I would have been right, I would have gone to his agent and said, here's a contract, fill it out.
I could go through Baseball Reference and figure this out. I want to say in his first full season as a Brave, I watched him pitch against the Cubs in Atlanta. I went to a Braves-Cubs game he pitched.
He may have. His first start as a Brave was at Wrigley Field against the Cubs.
But that was an interesting day.
He dominated them.
Did he?
And then the next day, Jose Guzman pitched for the Cubs, who they'd signed via free agency, and he had a no-hitter into the ninth against Atlanta.
Oh, well.
And everybody was like, oh, see? And I was like, oh, shut the F up.
That's not.
Shut up. I was pissed. Took me a long time to kind of get past that.
Maddox had at least 15 wins 17 years in a row. At least 15 wins. I would love to see the pages on this. Bill James, noted baseball historian, calls Greg Maddox the most underrated player in baseball history.
Yeah.
Thought it was interesting.
Yeah. He was, like, when you watched him pitch, it was art.
He's the all-time baseball leader in complete game shutouts in under 100 pitches. He's done it 13 times.
Yeah. Art.
The lowest ever was 76 against the Cubs. He threw a complete game shutout in 76 pitches.
Well, you would watch him pitch against guys like Ryan Sandberg, Mark Grace, Andre Dawson. I mean, great players. Whether you love the Cubs, hate the Cubs, I think you would admit that.
Yeah, sure.
Mark Grace, Andre Dawson, Ryan Sandberg, great players. He would just make them look like little leaguers. How many pitchers can make hitters like that routinely look completely lost at the plate? Two Hall of Famers and a guy that, frankly, was really close. Yeah. It was amazing.
Question the stream. Kentucky was actually on a silent count and then came out of it.
Yeah.
They realized they didn't – it wasn't on the need is they the right hear. Word, but, yeah, they were in and out of it throughout the game.
I mean, the crowd was a factor. The crowd was that's not Kentucky didn't lose because of the crowd. Hey, who do we have?
Hey, y'all. This is Mark in Columbus.
What's up, Mark?
Hey, y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Couple big games this weekend.
Yeah.
Chase, do you hate Tennessee or Texas A&M more?
A&M.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Tennessee's fans get on my nerves. It's the fans. I hate A&M, the institution.
Oh, I agree there.
I hate Tennessee fans more.
Yeah, dumbest fan base in the country.
That's
really not close.
The thing about A&M that's weird is that you hate them, and yet their fans are really nice.
And look, here's the truth. I mean this, so maybe I should come off some of my hate. Is at least 50% of my Tennessee hate is Wes Rucker related. I can't stand Wes Rucker.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Chase.
I mean,
I
am gleeful when Tennessee loses strictly because of Wes Rucker.
Their rival site is gone now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that site.
Chase.
I hated that site.
Chase.
Yeah, Mark.
We don't like him either.
I mean, he has a following, though.
No one likes him.
Volquest had a guy that was on the radio network. I mean, they were just an apologist at all times. They would interview guys and be like, "So, your visit is good, huh? Your visit was really good in Knoxville. It was like the best visit you've ever had, right? Right? Huh? Right?"
Bigger home or media contingent, Ohio State or Tennessee?
Oh, good.
Ooh, wow. Boy. I mean, that's.
I will say the rivals guy. Their beat writer at Ohio State, the new rivals guy, Bill Landis, is actually very good.
The old one hated our guts.
Yeah, big. The new guy, Gabe DeArmond, hired him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't wear the scarlet and gray glasses. Two of the other guys that hired definitely do, but he doesn't.
Noon hated us, didn't he?
Oh, God. Yeah,
he did.
He hated everybody.
Oh, God, that guy has Ohio. His basement's just filled with Ohio State memorabilia. You know it.
Tennessee going to win Saturday, Mark?
I think they match up pretty well. I mean, unfortunately, they put the Indians game at noon. I'm going to game two of that series, so I'm going to be watching it on my phone while I'm at the Indians game.
It's Guardians, Mark. Guardians.
No, it's not. It's Indians. I'll be wearing a Chief Wahoo shirt just to be as offensive as possible. I kind of like us in this series against the Rays.
Yeah, I'm cheering. I'm cheering for Cleveland. Good. I'm cheering for Cleveland. I want Cleveland.
You want them to get a ring now. That's over.
It would make me feel good. Actually, the closure.
We're so young, but. I think we could go into this thing kind of not knowing how big the moment is because we're so young. because this team's really set up for like 23 through 26. It's a year ahead of schedule. But we have elite pitching, and that wins in the playoffs.
Hmm.
I'm ready.
You'll have a pretty interesting 3 hours then.
Oh, definitely. Because I mean, this McKenzie kid's pitching game two, and he had a story about him in the Athletic today. It was fantastic. He was actually a Vanderbilt signee. Was the 46th pick in the draft, and went to pro baseball instead.
If Vanderbilt would just support baseball, they'd get some of those guys. Hey,
they got his younger brother.
Do you ever go to the Leaping Lizard in Cleveland?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Winking Lizard. Yeah.
What's it called?
The Winking Lizard.
Winking Lizard. Yeah, that place is cool. I went there. I went there the day of. Remember when Texas and Ohio State were like 1 and 2? I can't remember who was 1 and who was 2, but they were playing each other. And I was in Cleveland that day, and I went to that game that night. I went to that bar that night to watch that game, and it was amazing. That place was nutty, in a fun way.
Yeah, the Winking Lizard. They got those all over Ohio now. There's some in Columbus, I think.
Oh, is that right?
It's kind of a Cheney type, but it's fun.
Well, when I got to Cleveland on that Saturday, I was covering Saints Browns on Sunday, and I asked the guy downstairs at the time it was called Jacobs Field. It was right there next to where the Indians played. And I said, "Where do I need to go?" And he goes, "What are you looking for?" I said, "A sports bar, just go watch games and stuff." And he goes, "Oh, you need to go to the Winking Lizard." And he showed me how to get there, and I went, and it was huge, and it was fun. It was cool.
Cleveland's a great town.
I actually love Cleveland. I've been a few times, and I really like Cleveland.
I like Cleveland more than Columbus. People think I'm nuts that live here. I'm like, "You're out of your mind. Cleveland's 10 times better than Columbus." But I'm ready for these playoffs. I don't know, but like, maybe it's just listening to y'all talk about during the Ole Miss run, but I'm a lot more into it now than I was before that. That's for sure.
I'm a lifelong Phillies fan starting tomorrow for the next 3 days. Whatever it takes for us to the Phillies to get this done, I'm with it.
Have the Cardinals won a title since the Cubs won a title?
They have not.
Okay. Oh. I wasn't sure.
That's right. No, sir. They have not.
And what do y'all think?
Let's leave it that way.
Tomorrow?
I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to win the game. I love everything about Tennessee's offense. I think they can score on damn near anyone, and I think they're legitimately dangerous, but I want to see this game. For some reason, I've had this game circled for a while. Tennessee at LSU, I just think it's a litmus test for both teams. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I agree. I can't tell if we're good or not. I think we are good.
I think
it's just so weird to say it because we've been so bad for so long.
I think you're really good. I just want to see it. I want to see, you know, now Tennessee's defense. It's funny. People have been talking about Arkansas's defense. Tennessee's defense numerically is right there with them in terms of suckage. So they've got to come up with some plays here and there. And so I want to see what that looks like.
We're decent up front. We're pretty good on the edge, but our back seven is just nightmarishly slow.
That's a good matchup against LSU because they're not a great throwing team, but we'll see.
Yep. All right, y'all. Actually, I went to the Ohio State game Saturday. I left at like middle of the first quarter to go to Knoxville to play golf, and I went to Walk-Ons for the first time. That place is good.
Yeah, Walk-Ons is real good.
Yeah, they have one in West Knoxville now. I decided to go there to watch the end of the Saturdays. You know, I watched the Georgia-Missouri game and the Auburn-LSU game there. And it's fantastic food.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's really good, yeah. Thanks for the plug. We appreciate that.
All right, y'all.
All right.
All right, later. Good luck this weekend.
It's a scintillating contest.
It's the equivalent of the NCAA basketball tournament. Close does not mean good.
No, it's scintillating. I mean, oh, he's going for another field goal. 34 yards. Brandon McManus, 2 for 2 today. MVP of the Broncos season so far. Oh,
it's blocked.
Oh, I spoke too soon. Points are hard to come by. Hey, who do we have?
What's up, guys? Walt in Birmingham.
What's up, Walt?
Oh, not much. Still on Twin Watch 2022 over here.
Oh, yeah. How's it going?
Next Thursday. Yeah, next Thursday is the day.
Oh, that's induction day?
C-section day.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I was listening to you and Tyler earlier and you doing the Red Dragon Reigns on Thursday, and I ordered a 12-pack of them.
That
a
boy. Hey, that's gonna get you through the night. I'm just gonna tell you.
And the next day. And the next
you
day.
You pop one of those at 4 o'clock and you're good. You just tell the wife, say, baby, go get some sleep. I got this.
Yeah, if I call in to hand raise guys next Thursday, it's because I'm super wired out and everybody's asleep and I'm walking around the hospital or something. Probably will be a while before we talk again if I had to guess.
Walt, listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to me. Please listen to me. Next week is important. Okay? Two things. Your wife is going to want to leave the hospital as soon as possible. The answer to that is no. You stay at the hospital literally every minute that you're allowed to stay there. Okay? That's number one. I know what your wife's going to say. She's going to be pumped full of hormones. Just trust me. You don't give in on this. Don't go home before they make you go home. Now, that's number one. Number two. When you can sleep, Mark, I mean, Walt, you must sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, that's rule number two. When you can sleep, when sleep is available and on the menu, you must order sleep. That is not the time to be like, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to watch Neil and Chase. That is not the time to be like, hey, I'm going to watch the Rebels. No, the Rebels can wait. You have a DVR.
Don't get caught on your phone for 45 minutes.
If sleep is on the menu, you order sleep. Word to the wise. Take it or leave it.
Got it.
But if they come to you and say you can stay an extra night, the answer is yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And then sleep. Oh, number three. When they offer to take the babies to the nursery for the night?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Oh, and number four, if you have in-laws, family, and they say, we'd like to help tonight, the answer is yes.
Everybody's coming in town, and my mother-in-law literally just moved here from Atlanta a month ago.
Be nice to her. Be nice to her. When she goes, hey, I'll take it tonight, the answer is yes. If y'all go sleep tonight, the answer is thank you. Yes. Don't be a hero, because, man, the sleep deprivation's a real thing.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine, because you're going to be doubled up on it. So when you get a chance, when you get a chance to sleep.
That's going to come help out for the first little bit too.
Yeah. So. So sleep. Don't be a hero. Sleep.
Got it. Appreciate it. Back to college football, obviously real important topic in my life at the moment. But I was listening to y'all earlier. I hadn't caught the whole show, but I think the A&M fans being too nice is the reason that their stadium is not intimidating. I mean, whenever, like back in 14, after Ole Miss upsets Alabama and goes to College Station, I think I had a lot of friends that were like, oh, I hope there's not a letdown. And not only was there not a letdown, like the 110,000 didn't seem to matter at all. I'm sure it matters to Jimbo right now. I don't know if he's getting as many thumbs up whenever he's walking from the IPF to wherever he goes.
Some of it with A&M is like they have almost like this damaged situation because they expect to be really, really good. They put all this money into it. They have money, and yet they're mediocre always. They've never gotten over the hump. It creates a weird mental environment for A&M fans.
Yeah, those hokey, you know, pep rallies or whatever they do have to just be getting more and more awkward, like the worse things get.
They're horrible.
I guess you're putting on a happy face and acting, yeah, we're all here to have fun. But whenever you really want to win, that's got to grate on some people's nerves pretty bad.
Yeah, those are horrible. Someone should stop those.
Yeah. So last weekend, you know, the Alabama and Georgia games went exactly the opposite of kind of what I was counting on. Neil, you had a good call on the cover, though Arkansas was given every opportunity to cover that line. I mean,
yeah, they had that. Well, I mean, look, if Young doesn't get hurt, that's a blowout. But once Young got hurt and they had an opportunity, they let Alabama off the hook on that 3rd and 15. You can't give up that 3rd and 15 for 77 yards. You've got to make them punt there. And if you make them punt there, hey, man, who knows, right? Because that's fourth quarter, and the place had turned. Like, all the students had left. I have some inside knowledge on this. All the students had left, and they were starting to let them back in.
Yeah.
That place was about to get crazy, and then they ran that play.
And then KJ got hurt, and when Arkansas does make it down in the red zone, they just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
But so one of my bets is, my problem is I figured out this college football season, I listen to you and Tyler on Mondays, and then I think, you know, I'm going to go ahead and place a couple of bets, and I don't wait until I had to make myself wait until later in the week, because you end up locking yourself in somewhere. Like, for instance, I've got Kansas +7, and I pull up the picks today, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if anybody picked Kansas. And the only person who picked Kansas is Rippy, who is having the worst, you know, betting record. I mean, couldn't do any worse if he tried. And I was like, well, there goes that money. That's diapers I'm not going to buy with that, I guess.
Brian's having it. Brian's really struggling.
Yeah. It happens. It does. You know, he'll break out of it at some point, but maybe with Kansas. Please, dear God, be Kansas. Be going to break out.
Oh, I hope he's right, because Kansas winning would be such an awesome story.
Yeah. Well, or Kansas losing by only 6 would be a great story in my book. But, yeah, we'll see. But, Chase, I pre-ordered your book.
Thank you.
Looking forward to, getting it from Lemuria.
Thank you. They've been great.
And, you know, a lot of people have made the joke on, you know, oh, when's the poetry book coming or whatever. But, you know, in a hypothetical world, if there was a poetry book forthcoming, you know, you name it something like Leaves of Oak or Needles of Pine or something to that effect. And instead of, like, you picking out your favorite poems, I think it'd be great if either you had poems, like, only picked out by Houston Nutt, for instance, or only stories, you know, that should go.
Yeah, you're combining that author's books into one work. You're finding people to then give their favorite poems. So you're combining the poetry book and Stark Villains into one book, and creating that masterpiece.
Yeah,
Oleander or whatever that was called, and then
I think it was Leaves of Oleander or something to that effect. But anyway, I'm looking forward to reading the Resilient Rebels.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I've texted the link to a bunch of people too. So hopefully you're getting a lot of sales. It sounds like you are, based on.
Yeah, it's going really well so far.
Chase has been working on his haiku, and it's pretty interesting to watch some of the. He just kind of plays with it throughout the show.
It's gonna be a flip book.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So has Bubba called in? I feel like I haven't heard him all
year. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I mean, how am I going to bring 2 children into the world if I don't know what's going on in White Pine, or, you know, with 3 and 6 and Chase and Diddy and the whole group?
This should be a big week for Diddy, because the Vols are playing pretty well, and so I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. A little concerned.
Maybe show up. Maybe if they win in Baton Rouge, he'll show up before the Alabama game.
I hope so.
Before Tennessee plays Alabama. Anyway, y'all want a little Johnny joke?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I never know whether people want these or not. And then I got off the call.
Neil last week.
I love
a couple of people in the chat.
I love little Johnny.
Johnny joke. So, felt like I left off, and since I might not talk to y'all for a minute, figured I might as well. Little Johnny comes home from school, and he goes to talk to his dad. Let's call him Big Johnny. And he says, Dad, I got in trouble at school today. I think they're going to suspend me, if not worse. And Big Johnny says, "What happened?" And little Johnny says, "Well, we were in class, and teacher came in and said, 'Who knows what 3 plus 3 is?'" And I raised my hand, and she said, "Little Johnny," and I said, "6. And the teacher said, "That's right, little Johnny, good job." And she said, "But do you know what 2 times 3 is?" And at this time, little Johnny stopped his story, and Big Johnny does the quick math in his head, and he goes, "Well, what in the hell is the goddamn difference?" And little Johnny says, "That's what I said." Anyway. Hi, guys.
Have you ever heard the story about little Johnny and the train set?
Oh, yeah. That's the classic.
That's the best one.
That's when I knew I would be able to call into this show and tell them. But I'd love to hear it again.
So little Johnny's at his train set. And Chase has heard this 1,000 times. Yeah. It's my favorite joke. Little Johnny's at his train set. And the way it works is he pushes the lever down and the train goes. And when he pulls the lever up, the train stops. So he's on his train set, and his mom is in the kitchen getting dinner ready. And she can hear him, but she's leaving him alone because little Johnny's playing with his train set. And so he pushes it down, and the train takes off, chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga, and he pulls it up, choo-choo. "All you sons of bitches getting on, get on. All you sons of bitches getting off, get off." She turns her head like, what did he say? But she thinks maybe I didn't hear him right. I was focusing on what I was doing. I was chopping vegetables and I was getting everything ready. Maybe I didn't hear him right. And so she kind of listens now, and he pushes the lever down. Chugga 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 chugga. He pulls it up. Woo! "All you sons of bitches getting on, get on. All you sons of bitches getting off, get off." Well, she goes into that room, and she yanks him up by his ear, and she says, "Little Johnny, you don't talk like that in this house. You weren't taught to talk like that in this house. Go stand in the corner and think about what you said." And so he has no choice. He goes into the corner, stands there, his face turned into the corner, his back turned to his train set. And he stands there for 30 minutes. She finally thinks, you know what, maybe he's learned his lesson. And she goes back in and she says, "Little Johnny, did you think about what you said?" And he says, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Okay, well, you can play with your train set again." So he sits down, kind of collects himself, and he pushes the train lever down. Off goes the train. Chugga, 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 chugga. He pulls it up. "All you nice people getting on, get on. All you nice people getting off, get off. And all you nice people upset about the 30-minute delay, go talk to that bitch in the kitchen."
I love that joke.
So, yeah, it's little Johnny for the night.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right.
Y'all have a good one.
Hey, good luck to you, okay? Right.
Thanks. Right. I appreciate it.
Later, Walt. Bye.
See ya.
Nine to six into the third quarter, Broncos over the Colts. Amazon's going, let's not hold these ratings against us, okay? Let's let this one be the outlier. Hey, who do we got?
Yeah, since we're telling dirty jokes, I got one for you.
All right, keep it quasi dirty, not super dirty.
I might need to hang up then.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go over the line.
Yeah. All right. Probably saved us a trouble there.
Yeah. I think we got where we could go.
Sammy's waving the red flags. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Grant says YouTube's definitely flagging this one. Yeah. I hope not. Surely not. This wasn't too bad.
No, I think we're okay.
It's pretty mild. All right, we're gonna wrap it up there. It's 9:30 on a Thursday night. Hope everybody's has a great week. Be careful if you are if you're driving to Nashville or wherever the case may be. Thanks to Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating for making this show possible. We certainly appreciate it. I just noticed that the Comer emblem got shrunk as we went along. Apologize to the people at Comer there. 662-801-1777 for Comer. If you're in Memphis, that area, get in touch with the people at Southern. 662-429-4429. We'll have a post-game show Saturday evening, Ole Miss and Vanderbilt at 3 o'clock. So the post-game probably starting 6:30-ish, I would guess, is when Chase will hit the button. Jeffrey will join him. Brian might. I certainly will. From Vanderbilt Stadium in Nashville, I'll have coverage at rebelgrove.com. And we'll be back on Monday with another edition of the Oxford Exxon podcast. Again, our thanks to Ben Mintz for his time tonight. For Chase, I'm Neil. Take care.